We are on page, in the Stone Chumashim, page 200. We are in Perek Lamed Zayin, chapter 37. We are on Pasuk Hey. What we learned last week was basically the brothers were extremely jealous of Yosef. Yaakov treated Yosef differently than all the other brothers. He made him the special Ksenis Pasim, which are different opinions of what it is. Yosef used to, so to speak, snitch on the brothers to Yaakov. Last week we learned the argument and halachas between Yosef and the brothers. Yosef thought the brothers were doing things wrong, the brothers weren't. And basically that's where up to now. But one good thing about it, they were echad v'pev, echad v'lev. They hated him, they let him know it. They weren't bluffers. You know, it wasn't echad v'pev, echad v'lev, what they thought is what they spoke. Okay, chalem Yosef chalem, Yosef dreamt a dream, v'yagid le'echad, and he told it to his brothers, v'yisifu eitznei Yosef, and he continued to hate him. Now, it doesn't say here what the dream was. So the question is it the same dream that he's going to soon be mentioning in the Pesukim? Most opinions say yes. Other opinions say not necessarily. The Torah just doesn't say what the dream was, because we're going to see based on the Pesukim. Now, the Rechaim HaKodesh says, what does it mean, Vayachalem Yosef Chalem, that Yosef said the dream? He dreamt a dream, so the Torah is testifying that it was a dream. It wasn't that Yosef fabricated and made up the story. The Torah is testifying that Yosef dreamt a dream. Because otherwise, somebody could say, was he making up stories? He didn't make up stories.
When did the hatred start, Rabbi? Where and when? He was the baby, wasn't he? The youngest of the brothers?
No, Binyamin was the youngest.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Binyamin was the youngest, but he was the father's favorite.
Is that why they hated him?
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. The Aruch Haim asks basically another question that we're soon going to see. Yeah, this is pretty ridiculous. If you start to stop to think for a minute, this is pretty ridiculous. Yosef is a very, very smart person. He knows his brothers are jealous of him. Why in the world should he make the situation worse? Let me stop to think for a minute. Yosef was a smart, he's a tzaddik. He was very intelligent. You know your brothers hate you, so why are you saying things to antagonize the brothers? So there's different versions over here, so to speak, of the way to learn. The Aruch Haim explains that really Yosef is telling them that this that he did things is not because he was a bad person. In fact, at the contrary, Yosef thought by telling the brothers, the dreams, that the brothers should understand this is coming from God. It's not that he's causing the jealousy. Hashem is making this happen, and therefore he's doing it. Other Mefarshim learn that why did Yosef do it? It's interesting. Some Mefarshim learn, you go from extreme to extreme. The Sipurna says Yosef was immature, a 17-year-old immature kid. It's very not a Hasidic interpretation, but Yosef was very immature. So part of his immaturity was to tell his brothers the dream. That's one interpretation. The Chizkuni learns that, on the contrary, Yosef wanted, like we just said, Yosef, what the Aruch Haim is saying, Yosef wanted to justify to the brothers that this is all coming from Hashem. Why am I Yaakov's favorite son? Because the fact is, look at the dreams. The dreams are part of a prophecy. And there's another interesting interpretation. An uninterpreted dream, the Gemara says, is like an uninterpreted letter. Unread letter. Huh? Unopened letter. We know that in the Gemara Brachas. An uninterpreted dream is like an unread letter. So he said, if there's a dream, you have to interpret it. If not, it doesn't make sense. Another interpretation is quite on the contrary. There's a din in the Torah that if a Navi gets prophecy, if a prophet gets prophecy, and he doesn't tell it, HaKrei Vishnu Vosei, if somebody holds back prophecy, he's liable for death penalty from Hashem. Now, this demands explanation over here. According to the concepts of Torah, a dream, especially by tzaddikim, is a form of prophecy. We see this by Yosef's dreams, that they mamish came true. Paro's dreams came true. Dreams are in a form of a prophecy. Start the butler and the baker, right. All these dreams are a form of prophecy.
Not by us.
Not
just by
us. Well, the Gemara does say, Ein chaleim b'lei dvarim b'teilim. Every dream has foolish things in it. Number one. Here, he brings on a very interesting concept over here. The Gemara in Brachas leaves an open question whether dreams have any meaning. There's no question Yosef's dreams did, Paro's dreams had the butler and the baker, okay. The question is, do all dreams have a meaning to it or not? So the question is, if Hashem determines the sequence of events in advance, so then how does free will get into it? Then you go into this whole question that the Mefarshim ask. Are we not mere puppets? If Hashem is showing us in the dreams and prophecies that Jesus' brothers are going to bow down to him, so that they have an option? Do they have free choice or not? So he says, basically, he quotes the Rambam, that the Rambam says this is beyond our understanding, and don't even bother understanding it, and it's one of the most complex issues to understand. If God knows, how is it? The simple answer is, which is not necessarily the simple, it makes sense, but it's much deeper than that. Hashem knows what's going to happen. He shows it to us through dreams, but the dreams are not forcing it to happen. In other words, as a simple example, you go to a fortune teller. The fortune teller will tell you, or the stargazers will tell you what's in store for you. But they're not forcing that to happen. They're only telling you what will happen.
If they say something, it's more chance that it will happen.
Anytime any person says anything, there's more chance for it to happen.
They give energy to this.
No, because you reveal it into the world.
Reveal, yeah. No?
Once you say something speech-wise, it becomes revealed into the world. Once it's in the atmosphere, you see this, by the way, scientifically. We mentioned this many times. Scientifically, do you know that once somebody invents something in one end of the world, all of a sudden somebody in the other end of the world that doesn't even know about this guy also ends up inventing the same thing. Most inventions, you have simultaneous inventors inventing the same thing. What's going on? So I explained this once with the famous story of the Beis Yosef. When the Beis Yosef had a question for weeks, and he finally worked on it, and got answered, and the guy on the spot answered it. So the Beis Yosef was explained by the Malach that learned with him that once you bring something into the atmosphere, everybody can pick it up. Once something is brought down into speech, it has its impact. Okay, B'chlal the Gemara says, and we learned this in the Gemara, and we learned a lot of interesting stories in the Gemara Brachas about one person, two people had similar dreams. They went to the interpreter to interpret the dream. One paid for the interpretation, so the interpreter told him good interpretations. The guy that didn't pay got lousy interpretation, and both were fulfilled. The guy that had a good interpretation had it good, it was a bayin rava. And the one that had the bad interpretation, that guy had it all bad. Why? Because the Gemara says, dreams are actually a form of a prophecy. Dreams are actually a form, especially by greater people. If dream is a form of a prophecy, but it's still in the hidden realms, you know, still in the dream world, once you bring it down and you reveal it, so then it has its impact. In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says, the opposite about many dreams. Many dreams, he explains, is because the neshama doesn't go up completely during sleep. It's still connected to this world, and that's where the concept of nightmares come from. Nightmares come because the person's neshama didn't go all the way up, because they're not that great. That day it wasn't so great. The neshama didn't go that great up. And then, as we'll soon learn, the Mefarshim learned an interesting concept where Yosef's brothers were angry at him, because you normally dream what you think about right before you go to sleep. That means if Yosef is thinking that I'm going to ruin my brothers, that's why he had the dream. That's what they thought. So they're angry at him, not for the dream. They're angry at him. Why are you thinking those things before bed that you should get such a dream? That's what they're upset with. Okay, but anyway, this is basically... No, no. No, it just doesn't go up all the way. If it doesn't go up all the way, it doesn't mean it doesn't go down. It goes down. You can go up halfway, but that doesn't mean you're going down.
Rabbi, does everybody dream?
According to science, I believe it says everybody dreams. You just don't remember any
dream. Every hour, about 20 minutes of the sleeping.
Meaning every 45 minutes, you get a 1 to 2 second dream. That's what they
Yeah, but people don't remember it in the morning, right? Okay. So anyway, Yosef had this dream. The brothers, why he did it, either because Yosef felt obligation to do it because otherwise he's going to be guilty of holding back his prophecy, or he did it to show the brothers that it was taka from coming from Hashem and therefore they shouldn't hate him. Now, they continue to hate him even more. Why did they continue to hate him more? Because, number one, that they thought that he felt he was superior to them. And the Barbanel learns a different reason. And this is the way that Barbanel is learning. If you look in Pasuk Hay says as follows. Yosef had a dream, he told it to the brothers, and they hated him more. Then Vayemer Aleihem, he said to them, Shimu no achalei mazeh asher cholamti. Listen to this dream that I dreamt. Is it one dream or two dreams? So like the Barbanel learns very simple. It was one dream. Yosef started telling the brothers. Right away, they felt that he's making a baba maisa, fabricating the story, so they even hated him more. So Yosef says, no. He says, no, please listen to this dream that I'm telling you. But as also as Mefarshim say, Shimu na doesn't only mean please listen. Shimu means please understand the dream. Okay? Because it already says Vayagid La'echov. Shimuna means please understand the dream, what I'm bringing out with the dream. That the Taka Hashem wants me to be greater than you people. Another interpretation, by the way, of the word no over here, Shimuna, the Klayok, who is this? No, the Arachayim. The Arachayim HaKadosh says, what does no mean? No means either a request, please. No in Hebrew has two interpretations. Either please listen, or shimu no means listen now. Why does he say listen now? Because the Gemara says, he quotes the Gemara, that the interpretation of the dream is only effective if it's the day that you dreamt. In order for the interpretation to have its impact, you have to interpret it the day you had the dream. Similar, there's an interesting halacha. Normally you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, except Yom Kippur, correct? Another exception of fasting on Shabbos is, if Friday night somebody had a terrible dream that they would want to feel, they want to fast for it, you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. Why? Why don't you just push it off to Sunday? Like Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, so you push it off to Sunday. So the Gemara says, because fasting for a dream is only good the day of the dream. And therefore, if you have a bad dream Friday night, you can't push off the fast. But it's interesting halacha. You have to fast on Shabbos, and then you have to fast another fast that you because you fasted on Shabbos. You end up fasting two fasts. No, because we don't dream.
I'm glad I don't dream.
We don't dream. Well, we always interpret the dream something
we
positive.
We dream by day.
We dream by day. No, but it says you have to fast that day because that's the only day which is good for the fasting. But you have to fast the fast for the fast because you fasted on Shabbos. So that's why the Arachayim HaKadosh says, Shimuna means listen now, because now I need it to be interpreted. Okay?
If you have a dream, Erev Yontif, actually, it's a night, it's already Yontif. Do you need to fast the next day, Yontif?
If you can fast Shabbos, for sure you can. Well,
Yeah.
And is there a concept with Birkat Kohanim that when you be saying...
No, you can do that.
It would annul you from the requirement to fast.
I don't think so.
If it falls on Shabbos, now it falls on Shabbos. If it falls on Shabbos, it would be the fast.
Okay, so he says, what was the dream? Shimon Achalem Azeh Asher Cholamti. You can come.
It's a good question.
Okay, so what is it?
What's considered a bad dream?
What?
What's considered a bad dream?
Rated PG or worse.
The concept of a bad dream, if somebody dreamt, I'll give you examples that's brought down in Sfarim. If somebody dreams that they're on Yom Kippur, and they're praying before God, and all of a sudden they dream that the gates of heaven close on them.
That would be a bad dream.
If somebody dreamt, God forbid that somebody passes away. I mean, things like that, basically.
Murder.
But again, if you go by the interpretation of the dream, and you interpret it for something positive, then it's not a problem. But obviously, I mean, I'll give you an example. If somebody, God forbid, knows somebody passed away, okay, and that night they had such a dream that somebody passed away, it's obviously because of the events of the day. It's not a prophecy coming from God. You know, the classic famous story that they tell, that somebody once came to the shul, not the shul, somebody once came to a shul, very depressed in the morning, extremely depressed. So they said to him, Yankele, what's bothering you? He said, ugh, I had a terrible dream. They said, Yankele, what was the dream? He said, it's so bad I can't even say it. So he said, Yankele, tell us the dream. They even nudged him, you know. And finally he said, I dreamt that God died. Terrible dream. So he said to Yankele, big deal, you probably thought about it during the day, so you dreamt about it at night. He said, no, I didn't think about God for ages already. It couldn't have been that. It couldn't have been that. I didn't think about Hashem for ages.
You have a bad dream and you don't tell anybody. It doesn't get interpreted.
If you don't tell it, it doesn't get interpreted. You interpret it for good. In fact, in the Siddurim, this is called Hatovas Chalayim. There's a whole prayer. You come to shul in front of three people and you say a whole thing, and the people tell you, Chal Matova Chazoy, Chal Matova Chazoy, Chazi say, you saw a good dream, you saw a good. They tell them right away, the dream is good, the dream is good, the dream is good. It's the whole procedure.
But if you don't tell anybody, just because you think about it, it could become true?
I don't know. Again, I'm not into dreams too much, but...
The paragraph you say after Birkat the Kohanim, then say...
About the dreams.
Yeah. Is that the same?
Yeah, we're saying that all the dreams that it could be changed, Kol HaMalai say about Kol Yisrael HaTayv, it should be good. Yeah. Okay, so what was the dream that he dreamt?
So if you have a dream, can you get up in the morning and read that pasuk?
No.
I would suggest getting one or drink a cup of coffee better. Yeah. And then go to work.
I don't drink coffee.
Go to
rubbish.
Go to work.
He goes to protect
go to work. No, it depends how much you pay me. I'll interpret it. You want interpretation. If you pay me enough, I'll interpret it for good. The Gemara tells a story. Why should I be different? Okay. Pasuk Zayin. What was the dream? He said, Vihine, behold. And the Ara Chaim says, what does it mean, the concept of behold? Vihine, because it says the word vihine three times over here in this East Sukkim. So the Chaim explains, vihine means, behold, it's something more than a behold. It's like something actually happening. Now, they bring on here an interesting, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, or Bachi, whichever way you pronounce it. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that Yosef told his dreams over three times. There's three dreams over here going on. And he explains why. Because the brothers came to Yosef three times. First they came to buy food. Then they came the second time, you know, when they ran out of food. And the third time when Yaakov and everybody came down. So the three dreams, basically saying the same thing, that they're all going to bow to him, symbolize the three times that the brothers came to him and bowed. Okay, what was the dream? We were all binding sheaves in the middle of the field. Sheaves is the wheat. And behold, my sheaf, my wheat, stood up firmly. And also, Kamen got up, Vigamitov was firmly standing. And your sheaves, your wheat, surrounded mine. And they all bow down to my wheat. So what's Yosef saying? I had a dream, we're all bundling bundles of wheat, and your bundle, my bundle stood up straight, and all your bundles bowed down to me. So Mefarshim explained, what's the significance of this dream? That the brothers were going to come to him for food, for grain. Why did Hashem show him the wheat? Because why did the brothers come down to Mitzrayim? Because it was a hunger. They had no grain, so they had to come down to Mitzrayim to get grain. Now, Yosef, though, is saying over here two things. Kamalu Masi, it stood up. Vigamni Tzavan, it was firm. Okay? And then they surrounded his and they bowed down to him. So the Kleiakis explains the following over here. First, there is what's called Memshala, and there's Malucha. Is against your will. Malucha is a king that you appoint, anoint as a king. In Hebrew, for rulership, there's two expressions. There's me, a dictator against your will, that's called Moshe. Melech, the king, is one you anoint. You make him your king. Okay? Like we said tonight in Davening, for those who daven married, Umalchusei Berotzein Kiblu Aleim. Malucha is berots, and willingly. So Yosef says to the brothers, Kama alumasi v'gam nitzava. First, I got up, meaning I was a dictator, against your will. V'gam nitzava, and not only that, you also willingly accepted me. Okay? Now you listen to the brothers' answers. The brothers answered in reverse. V'yemru le'achov, the brothers said to him, Hamalech tim lechaleinu, are you then going to be a melech over us? Im mashal tim shalbanu, are you going to rule us? Yosef said to them, I'm going to rule you and be your king. The brother said, you're not going to be the king and definitely not a ruler. And they went in reverse of the order that he said. That's the way the Kleiakis says. And there's loizu avzu. Even Memshala, you know, he learns it. Memshal, even any rulership, not only we won't be your king. The Kleiakis explains this a little differently. He says, Meishel is a ruler, Melech is a king. So he learns king is more than a Meishel. Okay? A ruler. You have a ruler and you have a king. King is more than a ruler. So Yosef dreamt, not only am I going to rule you, I'm even going to become your king. So the brothers answered him, you're not going to become a king, and you're not even going to become a ruler in any way whatsoever. That's why they reversed the order. The brothers said it one way, and Yosef said it one way, the brothers answered him back. He said, I'm going to control you, plus I'm not only that, but I'm even going to be your king. So the brothers said, we're not going to be your king, and you're not even going to rule us.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Broadway ran a play, very interesting. I wished I had seen it.
I'm happy you didn't.
Joseph, and his Technicolor dream coat. Now, what could they have meant?
Look, this Joseph.
That was a very popular play on Broadway.
I'll tell you, I will confess my sin, but don't publicize it. I didn't see it, and I don't know what you're talking about.
But now you know there was a play called Joseph and his Technicolor dream coat.
Now, thank you for enlightening me.
It was a good musical.
I appreciate the Enlightenment movement. Okay.
I read about it.
Okay. The brothers say to him, "You're not going to king. You rule. You're not going to be a king. You're not going to rule us. Nothing." They hated him again. Al chalimesev on his word, on his dreams. Val devarav and in his words. So now the question is, what does it mean, the dream and the words? What dream and what words? So you say, and first of all, there's another interesting question. Chalei Meisav is plural. There was only one dream. about the bundles of wheat? Why does the pasuk say they hated him for his dreams? Okay, number one, so that some people learn, they hated him for his dreams and the way he spoke about the dreams, like the boasting of the dream. Rashi explains, what does mean devarav? His dreams and his words. So Rashi says the words that he spoke Lashon Hara against the brothers.
Could it be that he actually had two dreams of the same dream? Because we know if you have two dreams of the same dream, it's bound to come true.
The Abagonel learns that the brothers assumed that if Yosef kept dreaming that he's going to control his brothers, he had a lot of such dreams in his head. Now, this is the way that Abagonel learns. They assumed that he was always dreaming of ruling over them. That's the way that Abagonel learns. That's why it says plural. Or the Radak learns simple. The Pasuk is referring to all the dreams that he had, the earlier ones, the later ones, because there is another dream coming up. But the brother basically didn't like what Yosef was doing. The Arachayim learns, not like Rashi, but Al-Chalemesa means for the dreams, and Al-Devar is the way he said the dreams. You know, the way he told them over. Okay. Vayachalim Eid Chalem Acher, Yosef dreamt another dream. There are a lot of dreams. Okay. But Yisaper Eisei Le'achov, and he told it to his brothers. What was this dream? Hinei chalamti chalemeid. I had dreamt another dream. V'hinei ha-shemesh v'yareach, the sun and the moon. V'achad osef kechovim, and 11 stars. V'shtach v'mli, were bowing down to me. Okay, now, the question is, that why is Yosef telling him another dream? Because like we learned by Pari, the fact that he double dreamed it, you know, the double dream Pari had, shows that it's a reality, it's really going to happen. Well, over there it was an immediate one after another. So that shows it was quick. But here it wasn't the same night. So obviously it meant it's going to affirm that it's definitely going to happen, but not necessarily right away, because it didn't happen for a number of years yet. But it showed for sure it was going to happen, that's why the dream was repeat it twice. Now, what does it mean that this bow down to me? The way the Mefarshim explain, as everybody who knows minimal science, or if you go outside and you see it, the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west. Less people know the fact that the moon comes up in the east and sets in the west. Right? The moon at the beginning of the night is east, and as the night progresses, the moon keeps going over. By the time the morning comes, the moon sets in the west. That's Bechlau, the way the solar system works. It comes up in the east, and it stands in the west. And it goes down in the west. Normally, that is because, like it says in the Pasuk in Davening, Utzva HaShemayim, the host of the heavens, L'cha Mishtachim in Baal Tegad. How do the hosts of the heavens, stars, the moon, and the sun, everything bow to Hashem. So the Gemara says, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is on the west side of the world. And when the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west, so basically he's bowing to Hashem. Yosef's dream was that he was standing on the east, and they stopped, and they all bowed back to him. Because how could you have the concept of bowing to him? The dream, the bowing is that they're moving in that direction. So bowing, like this would be bowing towards the west. Yosef dreamt, Yosef was standing in the east, they were going west in the normal routine, they stopped and turned around and bowed to him.
Yeshua was from Yosef, yes?
Yeah.
But maybe he stopped this moon, it was like bounding, no?
No, he did it what Shemesh be giving them was to make up what Yaakov did, not... Not case. No. Okay, now, so Abagonel says another point. What's the difference between the two dreams? And Abagonel says as follows. The first dream, they bow to Yosef in grain, the food. Why? Like we just explained, because Yosef supported them. They came to Yosef to buy food. So that doesn't show that Yosef was great. That shows that Yosef had the food. They needed food, so they had to come to Balkan to get food. But it didn't show that Yosef himself was great. The second dream, that the stars, the sun, and the moon are bowing to him, has to do with his greatness, of shining. Now, without much depth over here, the sun and the moon is the father and the mother, Yaakov and his mother, even though Rachel was dead, we'll soon see what that means, but his father and mother, and the 11 stars are the 11 brothers. That's the simple meaning over here of what the dream meant. The Rebbe has an interesting sicha in the difference between Yosef's dreams and Pari's dreams. Pari had two similar dreams, Yosef had two similar dreams. What's the difference between Yosef's dreams and Pari's dreams? Mamish opposite. Pari's dreams, we meant the fat cows and the skinny cows and the fat stalks and the skinny stalks. Okay, Pari's first dream was about the cows. The second dream was about the stalks. Yosef's dream was first about the stalks and then about the sun and the moon. What's the difference? A Jew always goes up. Yosef went from grain, which grows, semeach, plant life, to the sun and the moon. Pare went from animals down to plant. He went down. Yosef, on the other hand, went up. That means when you dream, you should always dream upwards. You know?
You should.
It's like... A guy once told me, he met the shliach. So the guy says, you know, I can't sleep at night. He says, why? He says, because I owe the bank $10,000. I can't sleep at night. So the guy said to him, you fool. If you're not sleeping already, you should make it $1 million. If you're not sleeping already, you might as well not sleep over $1 million when you sleep over $10,000. Huh? If you're not sleeping because you owe money, the more anyway, not sleeping. What's the difference?
That doesn't mean you'll get the extra money.
What's the difference? It's the point. The Jew has to always go up in dreams.
Good point.
The Jew always has to move up in dreams. So Yosef Taka went from Sameach, from plant life, he went all the way up to animal life, I mean to sun and the moon, to heavenly things. Another thing that Rebbe explains that Yosef went from earthly things to heavenly things. And Pari's dreams are all on earth. And not only on earth, but he went down from animal down to plant life, which is even worse. Okay. V'yisaper al aviv al echov. So now, this Yosef was a very interesting fellow, why he did all this. He told, and like Rashi explains, he said it to his father, after he told it to the brothers, because the pasuk says he told the dream to his brothers, after he told it to his brothers, Yosef went back and told it to the father in the presence of the brothers. Yosef told it to the father, that's what it says. Vayisaper al aviv ve'elechov. He told it again to his father. So Rashi says, what do you mean? He told the brothers already. He told it to the brothers in the presence of the father.
And they interpreted it.
Huh?
And they interpreted this?
Well, it was very clear.
But when you say it, you strengthen it.
But the Ramban asks an interesting question. We don't find that Yosef told Yaakov the first dream. Why didn't Yosef tell Yaakov the first dream about the bundles? The Ramban answer is very simple. It's not negiah to Yaakov, right. The Ramban says, the first dream was the brothers' bundles bowed to him. It wasn't relevant to Yaakov. If it wasn't relevant to Yaakov, why is he going to tell his father a dream that... But now that he's dreaming about the sun and the moon, which is clear interpretation that it means Yaakov and his mother, and the 11 brothers, so this dream was relevant to Yaakov. So halachically, like we said before, Yosef had to tell it to the father. So why did he tell it again in front of the brothers? Because part of the dream is the father and the brothers. So he can't tell over half a dream. So he has to tell Yaakov in front of the brothers what the dream is.
What is halachic he has to tell?
Because if not, he's kavish nevuasa. He's holding back prophecy.
Oh, okay.
No one interpreted his dream that he's going to become a king. The brother said, "You're not going to become." And the father said, "Why are you having this dream?"
But if you notice, the father didn't say his Baba Mises. The brother said his Baba Mises. Yaakov, Aviv, Shamar, the Sadov. We're going to see. Yaakov knew the dream was going to be true. He told something to get the brothers off his head.
But you don't interpret the dream correctly.
But Yaakov understood the prophecy of this dream. Bechlau, soon we're going to learn another pasuk. You know, again, Yosef was 17 years old, but he was a very smart, besides brilliant, he was a tzaddik. Yeah? In a few psukim we're going to learn, Yaakov calls on Yosef, and he says to him, "I want you to go see how your brothers are doing." And he says, "Hinein, I'm ready to go." Yeah? Well, you think Yosef didn't know the brothers hated him? Didn't you think Yosef would know the brothers could beat him up? I mean, you're talking about the big brothers, right? And he was the second youngest. Don't you think that Yosef knew that he's getting into danger? Nevertheless, Yosef had, and it's an interesting lesson, Yosef had Mesiras Nefesh for what has to be done. Yaakov is sending him, as we'll learn in a few psukim. Yaakov is sending him, Yosef says, "Hineini." Yosef gets prophecy from God, dreams that Yosef understood were nevuah. I'm sure Yosef didn't have only two dreams in his life. But Yosef had two dreams that were relevant to the brothers. Right? Even though he knew that through this they're going to hate him. But Yosef realized if Hashem is telling him the dream, he has no choice, he has to say it. Which shows, I mean, if you look at it from a proper perspective, it's not that Yosef is immature and he's, you know, he wants a troublemaker. You know, he wants to be a troublemaker to get his brothers jealous of him. Yosef was above that. Yosef is looking at the point, "I have no choice. Hashem is telling me a prophecy, I must tell it over. They're not going to like me because of it. Tough luck, there's nothing I can do about it." Just like in Tupsukim, Yaakov says to Yosef, "I want you to go see how your brothers are doing." He knew that he's going to endanger himself, but he said, "If this is what has to be done, this is what has to be done."
How he knew after this, he met the Malach Gabriel and told him, "Nasumi."
Okay, what's that? We have to.
How he knew?
How did Gabriel know?
No.
We're not there yet. Let's. I'm just bringing out the point of Yosef telling over the dreams is not because Yosef Dafka wanted to make the brother jealous. And let's be realistic, he told it over again to the father. I mean, not again. He told it to the father in front of the brothers. So he had to tell it.
This is before Yosef was sold into slavery.
Yeah, this is what's leading up to the selling.
It's right before.
Yeah, so you didn't see the play. In the play, this what did they. That in the play that came later.
I wished I did. Had I known that I'd be sitting with you tonight, I would have gone to Broadway.
Would you have taken me along with you?
No.
Yisaper Lovi Velechov. Okay, I see what type of friend you are. Yisaper Lovi Velechov, he told it over to his father and his brothers. By Yigar, by Aviv, and his father scolded him. His father and mom scolded him. And why, we'll soon see in Rashi, because Yosef was making this hatred between them. And he said, "What is this dream that you're dreaming about?" He's like laughing at him. What type of dream? Can with then come me and your mother and your brothers? What is Yaakov saying? Rashi explains, your mother died already. How can the moon symbolizes your mother? How could I come if your mother passed away already? But what Yaakov either knew or didn't want to say was it referred to Bilhah, who after Rachel died, raised Yosef.
But Bilhah wasn't the time the brother come to bow down.
Yeah. Well, possibly. Yeah, she had to be. If not,
this is really happened that Bilhah come and bow to Yosef.
Well, Rashi says that from here the Chachamim learn, She'ein Nevuah B'Lei Dvarim B'Teilim. Mm-hmm. Okay? That there is no Chalein without Dvarim B'Teilim. So therefore, Yaakov understood that the dream could be true. The moon part of it does not have to happen because every dream has something which is not true in it. But the general concept of the dream is very important. Okay, now it says as follows. And Rabbeinu Bachai has a beautiful explanation here. The brothers became jealous of him. Until now it says they hated him. Now it says they became jealous of him. But his father kept the matter in mind. In other words, he was waiting when it was going to happen. Now, the Aruch Chaim explains that first they hated him for making up these fantasies. But now, when they saw the fantasies weren't fantasies and it was real, then they became jealous. Okay? You don't have to become jealous if somebody is fantasizing, because it's not true anyway. Aveinu Bechaya says as follows. Hatred is generally coupled with jealousy, so we know that they were hated him before. If you hate somebody, you're usually jealous of the person. Therefore, he says, this is a new type of jealousy, this pasuk. And he says as follows. A person feels jealous of a person in a competitive field. For instance, he says, a brilliant person might be jealous of another brilliant person. But a brilliant person is not going to be jealous of a person that can lift weights. It's not his field. There's no jealousy. There's no competition. When there's competition, there's jealousy. Right? If there's no competition, there's no jealousy. So he says, earlier, the hatred was because the brothers, we're all the same brothers, we're all the same children, why is he treating Yosef differently? He's giving him special coat, special treatment, so they hated him for that. That was a competitive type of hatred. We're all equal children, why is he getting better than us? He says, this one, however, they perceive from his dreams, that a wise and great people of their own right, that Yosef was going to rule over them. Now they viewed him as an equal in wisdom, and yet he's going to control them. It's a deeper type of jealousy. We mentioned last time, there's an expression that the Rabbi Rasha brings down, kina machma sina en latakona. Jealousy that comes from hatred. I'm sorry, sina machma kina en latakona. Hatred that comes from jealousy, you can never rectify.
Jealousy comes first.
Huh?
Jealousy has to come first.
Yeah.
Usually,
jealousy and hatred go hand in hand.
Because the brother first hated him, after that he was jealous. That's what you said.
Okay. Well, first the brothers hated him. No, he learns, the Rabbeinu Bachai says, even before was kinah. Mm-hmm. This is a new type of kinah.
Oh, as was one kind of kina, and after this.
Now the deeper type of a kina.
It's a kina.
Jealousy.
Thank you.
And it says the Avi Shamar Sadova, the Medrash writes that Yaakov actually wrote it down. Yaakov actually wrote it down.
The dream.
The dream. When it happened. You kept it, so to speak. He kept it in the diary, like...
Shamar, yeah.
Yeah, then he kept it. What is it going to be? Okay, so now, in Pasuk Yud Beis...
But Yosef told his brothers the dreams, and he was a smart guy. He knows that they already jealous and hate him, and after this it will be more jealousy. He bring it to on himself, this what has happened to me after this.
What?
He bring on himself what has happened to
who?
Him after this. Yosef.
By doing what?
Because he, with his telling the dreams, he bring more deep level of jealousy and worsen the situation.
Therefore?
And he bring on himself all this suffering.
And why does he do it? If he's a smart boy, why does he...
We said because he had no choice.
Exactly.
No, because he had no choice. Like we said, it was in the word that he had to say.
Because when Yaakov chose him to that it is the best son, he said it's Yaakov's fault. Because and now Yosef doing it by himself.
Yeah, but Yosef had no choice. It was a matter of prophecy. He had to say it. In fact, the Mefarshim discuss, the Rashbam discusses, L'cha'era, when Yosef was sold as a slave, soon. And the brothers told Yaakov that Yosef died. Right? Mm-hmm. Then what happened to the dream? So it says, the Rashbam explains, this is what it means, Va'aviv Shamar Es HaDavar. The fact that Yosef had a dream that they're all going to come to bow to him kept him from giving up complete hope that Yosef died. Shamar Es HaDavar, he kept it, this kept him going to believe that Yosef was alive from the mere fact, if the dream is a prophecy, Yaakov understood it as a prophecy, and it's going to happen, so then Yosef couldn't be dead. Rashbam.
Rashbam.
Yep. Okay, so the Pasuk says, Vayelchu Echav, the brothers went. Okay, the brothers went, Liris, to graze a Sein Aviyam B'Shechem, the sheep of the father in Shechem. Now, Rashi says, there's dots on the word, which shows that they really went to graze themselves, meaning to do things they shouldn't be doing. Like it says, Rashi says, Liris is Atzmam, okay, we'll see now in a second. The brothers went, Lireis, the true purpose of the, simply to get away.
What does Liro take that smart?
To take, to graze themselves.
Graze?
To pasture themselves. What does it mean in simple English? That they wanted to get away from this Yosef guy. They didn't like what was going on in the house, that Yaakov was treating Yosef separately. They wanted to take care of themselves, to get away. So simply they want Moshe to get away. They take care of the father's flock, okay? Meaning they went to care for the sheep, but they really went to pasture themselves to get into freedom a little bit.
Didn't you want that they were jealous of him because Yehuda was supposed to be king? And he said he was going to be king?
Yeah, we said before that everything that happened to Yaakov, meaning Levi was supposed to be the Sheshiva, Yosef took it. Yehuda was supposed to be the king, Yosef took it. All these things that Yosef took, yeah.
Oh. Why did he take
it? He became the king in Egypt. He became a Torah scholar. Yosef was everything. But there is a concept in Torah, as you see, and you have to understand another point. The Gemara says, and this is what Rebbe brings up many, many sikhs, the Torah doesn't even speak bad about an animal. The Torah doesn't speak gnuz beim etmeya. The Torah doesn't even speak negatively about a treifa animal. Why is the Torah speaking seemingly negatively about the brothers? Yosef had a prophecy. He did his job, Mesiras Nefesh. He had to tell the prophecy. But the Torah says, Ve'ikana b'yachav, the brothers are jealous. That's not a very positive statement to speak about the Shvatim. Why is the Torah telling us Ve'ikana b'yachav? And the answer is, because sometimes there has to be jealousy. There has to be jealousy, like we said last week, kines, sofrim, tar b'chochma. When there's jealousy of good things, it adds wisdom. When you're jealous of somebody,
jealousy of competition. There's a two.
Yeah, but jealousy. Yeah, kinesophon means any competition is jealous. If somebody, I give you an example. For kids, they learn Mishnah is by heart, right?
Right.
So if one kid has two stars, two golds, and one kid has another gold, he's jealous of that kid, that the kid has more, and that causes him to do more. There has to be more movement from the jealousy. So if the jealousy is only something in the heart that causes you to hate the person, that is a negative type of jealousy. No good can come from that jealousy. But if you're talking about a jealousy that instills competition to do more, so then the jealousy is good. And the Torah says, Ve'ikana b'yechov, in a positive way, there has to be jealousy.
So same thing with the money, or just the learning?
Anything.
It doesn't say kinna money, tabra money. It says kinna suffering, competition of studying adds wisdom. There's a Hasidic word, a Hasidic verse. In Aleinu, there's a pasuk from Chumash which is quoted. You should know that God has God in the heavens above and the earth below. So the Chassidic word is as follows: Bashamayim, in heavenly things, mimal, always look up to the person who's better than you. Look up to the person who's more religious, learns more, gives more tzedakah, always look up. But it's in earthly matters, mitachas, look at the one below you. They don't have it, then I don't need it. If they don't have it, I don't need it. In heavenly things, always people do the opposite. In earthly things, they say, they have this, I also need it. In spiritual things, he doesn't go to shul, why do I have to go to shul? If he doesn't go to shul, why do I have to go to shul? In earthly things, he has 5 cars, I need 6 cars.
Captive held here.
Yeah. I mean, that's the competition. So it says, Mamaj the opposite. What? Bashamayim, in heavenly things, move, look up, in earthly things, look down.
In it. Do you really want your spot to become king rather than Yehuda? He was supposed to be a king later.
Because Yosef was a greater level of an neshama than the brothers.
Why don't we become king altogether then?
Bechlau kingdom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did eventually from the, you know, Menashe and those kings of Israel came from Yosef, but they weren't allowed to be. It wasn't. Everything has its time and place. Every brother had its uniqueness. Yehuda is the inner Malchus. It has to be Mashiach and David HaMelech. I mean, whatever it is, it has to be. Yosef and this time was the concept of a Melech. Only Yosef in this time was able to be in Egypt and remain a tzaddik.
What level does he come from?
Yosef tzaddik olyon from the level of Yisod. Yosef's level of Yisod. Yosef's greater than the Shvatim. Yeah.
If he was a tzaddik, was there a tzaddik when he dies, his bones, his body stays perfect. But when Yosef died, why did Moshe take up Yosef's bones?
Bones? He picked up a coffin. I mean, it doesn't say the meat rotted. Maybe there were
intact.
It couldn't rot, right? If they embalmed him, it's not going to rot anyway. But even without it, it was a form of tzaddik and taka. The expression is atzmas Yosef, the bones of Yosef, because he was punished with certain things because he didn't protest. The father was called, and that's why he's called bones. But the truth is, the Gemara says that he taka didn't rot.
The Yaakov Avinu's body, physically, it's not
rotten
yet?
No, Tzaddikim, it says don't rot. I mean, I didn't see his body in the ground for many years. Okay. But the Pasha said Tzaddikim don't rot.
Today too, not only this time.
If they're real tzaddik. If they're a real tzaddik.
That's why Yosef has the Egyptians embalm, because they don't realize there's a tzaddik and make a god on them.
I don't know, they put him in at the bottom of the Nile anyway. I don't know how many people in deep sea graving.
He let Egyptians embalm Yaakov.
So yeah, but it wasn't. Yeah, but it wasn't embalming like today. Right. They didn't take out fluids. They wrapped him, but there's a difference. Embalming is forbidden because you take out today. Embalming means you take out the fluids to preserve the body. That you're not allowed to do because the body has to remain intact. So it says in the Mefarshim right, in Halach also, that the embalming of Yaakov and Yosef wasn't that they took out fluids. They added things to the body to keep it, but not taking out.
Then they wrapped it,
yeah. The Egyptian mummies, you know, whatever, they would wrap it in their own ways. But it wasn't the embalming which is halachically forbidden today, because if not, Yaakov wouldn't have, Yosef at least wouldn't have had it allowed, wouldn't have had it done to Yaakov. But then you have the famous story we've mentioned many times of Shmuel Munkus, you know, the Lebed, tonight's Alter Rebbe's Yartzeit. But the Shmuel Munkus was a very big chassid of the Alter Rebbe. He was a tzaddik of Tanya, not a beinyan of Tanya. He was a tzaddik of Tanya. But we learned there are a lot of stories about his. He was a very lively chassid. See, one time he had a so-called tzaddik came to his house, but it smelled too much from ego, and he couldn't tolerate that. So, middle of the night, the guy was sleeping. This tzaddik was sleeping. The Shmuel Monkus came in with a big knife, like this big knife, and he stands over the guy's bed, like he wants to kill him. The guy wakes up in the middle of the night. He says, whoa, what is it? The smoker says, no, don't worry, I'll tell you what the story is. He says, every year I have a minig, have a custom, to go to a grave of a tzaddik, to pray. I'm getting older, it's harder to walk. So you're such a big tzaddik, I want to kill you, bury you here in my area, and I'll have a grave of a tzaddik to go to. So the guy says,
I'm not that you big tzaddik.
One second, no, listen. He's still with the knife over him. The guy says, no, I'm not such a big tzaddik. I did this in the Saveda. But Shmuel Monkus listens, says, no, he's still a tzaddik. So the guy kept confessing all his sins, one after another, all the sins. Until finally he confessed all the terrible sins he did. And Shmuel Monkus said, get out of here. He threw him out. So he kept, you're a tzaddik. No tzaddik can rot in the ground. Those that they